Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Come on.
Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. And I think what I'm trying to say is best encapsulated by what Frank Sinatra said, his observation that the best revenge is massive success. So there, you know, along with all of this other stuff that we're talking about, there's this effort to geld in a nerve, folks. You know, Darren in Illinois' observation is fitting. Turn us all into circus bears riding unicycles at the grocery store, in manner of speaking. And, you know, fear is a big part of that. And you can see that with the COVID nonsense. You know, people not living their lives, but just paralyzed by fear. And, you know, part of that is due to mixed messages, the It's a fascinating thing, you know, that I mean, we played that clip a few times of Ashish Jha in the Senate hearings. I think it was Ron Johnson who asked him point blank, you know, how many patients have you seen during the pandemic? You know, how many? And he kept trying to deflect and say, you know, I'm outraged at blah, blah, blah. And finally, he was confronted, repeatedly asked, how many patients have you? Okay, that's fine, whatever. But how many patients have you seen, Ashish Jha? Because you're a mouthpiece. You're an establishment mouthpiece. You're interviewed every weekend on some big mainstream platform. How many patients have you seen? Finally had to admit, none, zero. He's seen zero patients. He's an administrative mouthpiece. And yet, he's still, I mean, I'm seeing him still. He pops up all over the place. And confidently asserting establishment mouthpiece talking points. He's a tool. And at the same time, guys like Dr. Peter McCullough, who is more published, I'm pretty sure, than in peer-reviewed journals and so forth, than Ashish Jha. Peter McCullough is not invited on the same. Why aren't they both on these broadcasts? Ashish Jha and Peter McCullough. Why not have them both on? And the answer is obvious, isn't it? Because the establishment talking points would crumble under the weight of the truth. And so what happens is, you know, you have establishment talking points that get an inordinate amount of coverage versus the other stuff that you really have to go ferret out for yourself. You know, if you want to, you want to hear Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, you have to go looking. Why are we hearing from someone like Ashish Jha or Peter Hotez or, I don't know, anyone, and not Dr. Peter McCullough? He's a highly published, highly respected, highly credentialed, highly credible expert in his field. Why are we not hearing from him too? Why is there no room for dissenting voices? And the fraud of, you know, the Fauci-Collins conspiracy, if you will, has been politicized. You know, Fauci and Rand Paul arguing again in Senate hearings about, you know, that to me is just professional wrestling. It's just kabuki theater. It's ridiculous. Makes a mockery of justice, I would say. So, you know, the truth is sort of sidelined in all of this, and people are presented with a confusing array of theatrics, really. And I think the confusion feeds the fear, and so people retreat to whatever they can find that they feel gives them any sense of security, and they want to believe in a leader and, you know, someone who seems strong, and that all, you know, lends itself to megalomania and tyranny. And lots of people have commented on that, from Solzhenitsyn to Gustav Le Bon to Plato to Hayek to on and on the list goes. It's a dangerous thing. We seem to be, the idea of our rugged individualist Americana seems to be systematically being bred out of us. I think we used to be that way. You know, before mass media really took hold, I think we had a deeper sense of rugged individualism. You know, I remember hearing stories from my grandparents about, you know, during the Depression era, for example, kids digging garbage cans to find cardboard to fill their shoes, the holes in their shoes during harsh winters, and that was just what people did. And that was a generation that hung on to everything because it could be repurposed, and that was before the days that everything was, you know, and there was rationing, and there were programs to recycle things for the war effort and those kinds of things. But that was before planned obsolescence really took hold, and now everything is made to fall apart in about 18 months, approximately, you know, generally speaking. But, you know, they used to hang on to things, and those things would get repurposed, maybe sometimes more than once. So we have been engineered to be a different people, I think, and it's unfortunate. I think we shut off the mass media, start thinking for ourselves, maybe we could gravitate, you know, put Ecclesiastes 3:22 together with Sinatra, "The best revenge is massive success." Why aren't we teaching, you know, that one of the things that is so great about the internet is ubiquity, and we can put stuff out to the world very inexpensively. Why isn't the London School of Economics teaching everyone how to create shell corporations? And you know, why isn't everyone being taught how to be a corporate raider like Eddie Lampert? You know, how he and his buddies destroyed brands like Kmart and Sears, looting them for the real estate and then renting it back to the brand and just absolutely gutting these brands. How come we're not all learning how to be corporate raiders like Skull and Bonesman, Eddie Lampert? I'm being a little facetious, but I wonder what would happen if we started projects to help people, you know, put their own ideas to work and start creating things, to be happy in their activities, have some ideas, find a problem, solve it. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of folks that, you know, we might generally describe as down on their luck, who probably have made some very wise and astute observations about society, having had an opportunity to think about things in a way that most people don't, because they go through the motions. And it's interesting how one little change in your life, maybe the death of a loved one or some change in circumstances, really can radically alter someone's view of life and people and things. Fascinating how that works sometimes. So I think some folks who, you know, we would generally consider down on their luck probably have had some time to think about things in a way that most of us don't. Maybe they have a perspective, maybe they have some ideas, and you hear about that sometimes. So why don't we give each other a helping hand? And who knows, you know, best revenge is massive success. Why aren't they learning about tax shelters and real estate deals and things like that? How to spot certain things and make certain things happen. I've seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? Happy in his activities. Something to ponder, I think. So, keep threatening to play this speech, Dr. Martin Luther King, Beyond Vietnam, A More Perfect Union, is the blog for A More Perfect Union. The gentleman who posted it, forget his name, he goes by the handle Servant to All. He posted it about 10 years ago. And again, you know, I just think it's fascinating. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we don't have to rely on large organizations to do these things for us. But You know, there is, again, there's that issue. We equate size, you know, with importance and even power. Salvatore Natoli, right? In our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. So if it's this guy who posted it, who knows? Maybe Martin Luther King didn't even give this speech. But if it was, you know, some large organization, it's a funny thing. When you kind of see behind the scenes of the United Nations and their broadcasts and things, it doesn't look as impressive. So, funny how that works. Anyway, I think maybe we could start Wow. I want to wait on the Martin Luther King thing. Interesting. So there's the Fauci Collins email deal that, to me, again, speaks to how are people... The issue of malfeasance in office, malfeasance, misfeasance, and nonfeasance are kind of the big terms. You can actually look that up on Wikipedia even. Malfeasance is often grounds for a just cause removal of an elected official by statute or recall election. Malfeasance in office contrasts with misfeasance in office, which is the commission of a lawful act done in an official capacity that improperly causes harm, and nonfeasance in office, which is the failure to perform an official duty. So, again, I feel like Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message, has trained us to be spectators in our own lives. If the medium is the message has done anything, I think it's that. I think it, you know, mass media has trained people in America to act like spectators in their own lives. And they, you know, even if it's a protest, oh, we should protest? Okay. Well, I guess we should protest. I guess we should. People don't do anything of their own volition these days. Almost nothing. Can you imagine how crazy it would be? I think of H.L. Mencken and, you know, his sentiments along those lines. Most people have never had an original thought in their entire lives. My guess is that well over 80% of the human race goes through life without ever having a single original thought, he said. That is to say, they never think anything that has not been thought before and by thousands. A society made up of individuals who were all capable of original thought would probably be unendurable. The pressure of ideas would simply drive it frantic. The normal human society is very little troubled by them. Whenever a new one appears, the average man displays signs of dismay and resentment. Mm-hmm. The only way he can take in such a new idea is by translating it crudely into terms of more familiar ideas. That translation is one of the chief functions of politicians, not to mention journalists. They devote themselves largely to debasing the ideas launched by their betters. This debasement is intellectually reprehensible, but probably necessary to carry on the business of the world. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. All right. Before we play more clips, back to the phones. Pat in Fort Worth, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, Pat.
I guess you don't believe Reverend Ralph David Abernathy's book, Walls Came Tumbling Down, about his autobiography of him with MLK.
Okay.
You don't believe it?
I've not read it.
Well, of course, a lot of people came against it. You know, Andrew Young, the mayor of Atlanta, and Jesse Jackson. But, you know, back then, a lot of people thought Jesse Jackson did it because he would be the next big moolah. But you know what? then he was exposed for his having kids outside of marriage, so he didn't go very far running for president. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was one more people wrote about it. There was one guy called Taylor Branch, and it was called At Canaan's Edge. And when I tried to go there, it was a 404. You know what that is. It's been removed. You can't look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Atlanta. I remember things that happened. I wasn't paying any attention to him too much because, we didn't have any trouble getting along with blacks. But I remember after he came out, I can't remember exactly what date it was, but I was walking along a sidewalk and a whole bunch of blacks linked hands and made me walk in the street to get past them. So I think it was a communist conspiracy. I'm sorry.
What was a communist conspiracy?
Martin Luther King, that he had all his advisors were communists, and people in Alabama had billboards that showed him at Mont Eagle, Tennessee, in a communist training camp. Why would you be there? Well, you mm-hmm. make up all kind of reasons. You're just mm-hmm. checking them out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think so. And there's actually. I forgot to write all this stuff down, but I forgot. Y'all won't like him either. The guy who's in charge of the FBI, he insisted they get videos of it, and supposedly there was a video of Martin Luther King watching another pastor rape a woman and laughing his head off. So. I don't. If you all want to make him all squeaky clean, go right ahead. But I think people old as me remember, and you can find it somewhere. People know how to look up stuff, but I don't.
Well, what I would call that is a bifurcation fallacy. He's either a communist agent or he's squeaky clean, and I would say that. The truth lies somewhere in the middle, and what I am saying is neither of those things. What I would assert based on my understanding is, yeah, he was basically handled by federal agents, primarily through proxies of one sort or another for at least a decade, and then he came to a point, then he came to a point where he'd had enough, and he sort of sought for what it was and said, enough. And I think that is what is represented in his Beyond Vietnam speech.
Well, a lot of people didn't like Vietnam. I won't go into exactly. I wanted to ask J.R. Moore this morning, exactly how did you protest Vietnam when you were there? Because when I was working in a military hospital, I had to quit working because I wanted to run for, a Christian candidate. They said you can't work in a military hospital and still... I think they've changed that right now and still campaign for anybody's office. Crazy, huh?
I'm not following you. Yeah.
Huh?
We're headed into a break. Hold that thought. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back. All right, so I wasn't quite following you there at the end of the last segment, Pat. And
you can hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Well, I said to different people who had written about Martin Luther King's affairs. One of them was called, it was by Taylor Branch, it was called At Canaan's Edge. But when you try to go there to see any more about it, he told Coretta Scott King about it. But when you go there, it's a 404. That means they've taken it out. You can't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about James Earl Ray. The King family knows James L. Ray was not the guilty party. And in fact, if you don't believe it, he turned himself in because he thought he could prove he wasn't even there or whatever. And he turned himself out in, and when he found out he was going to be, I think he took off running. But the family don't believe it was him.
So what is your point of saying that?
Well, I wouldn't take that guy's
word. You seem to kind of be all over the place.
Say what?
You seem to be all over the place. I'm not following where you're going with all of that.
So you haven't read Reverend Ralph David Abernathy's book? He died at the age of 65.
Right.
And
64, I think, but yeah.
He knew he was going to have to face God. He could not die with a lie. And two more people had already spread the truth around. And he told the truth before he died. So you say he was either a handle by communists or squeaky clean? Is that what you said?
He who?
MLK, Martin Luther King.
By federal agents, by proxy.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't God be helping a Christian who was on the right path a little bit better than that?
Well, that's a good question.
Would you have not been handled that way, Chris?
What's that? You were muffled there.
Could you be handled that way?
I would hope not. But,
Well, if he was a very good preacher, which he, I think his PhD was given to him. He didn't earn it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know his kids are going to take up for him, and his niece, she turned out to be pretty good because she said that Obama was not carrying out the hope or something like that about abortion because he was not, Martin Luther King was not for abortion, but of course Obama was. But anyway,
I don't know what the connection is there either.
I might as well forget it. I mean, if you don't read Ralph Abernathy's book, you probably won't believe any of it. But, I was there. I saw some of the things that he caused to happen, and it's been going bad ever since. Because before then, people loved their music. A lot of the black people were their best, and there wasn't anything like now. It was good music. And they didn't mind being black. Nobody minded them being black. But Martin Luther King, he just taught them that, they're being abused. And you know how long that is. You don't even talk about that, telling people that, you're abused and you're all this and the other. And they believe it.
Victim psychopathy.
Well, that's what's happened. That's what Martin Luther King caused.
Well, I think there is, an aspect of his celebrity that was supposed to contribute to that, basically to foment conflict in society. The civil rights movement was intended to foment conflict and to induce a victim psychopathy. And, you can read all kinds of folks like Thomas Sowell, for example, that will debunk the myth of the falsified numbers, basically, whatever they are, whether it's unemployment or, marriage rates, fatherless rates, whatever number you want to look at, I would probably point folks to someone like Thomas Sowell as much as anyone in this kind of a discussion. But I think that, you know, my understanding is, and I've talked about this many times, no, I have not read Ralph Abernathy's book, but I wonder, you know, I think we should ask more questions. I think we should understand what things like limited hangouts are, why someone would want to besmirch someone like Martin Luther King posthumously. Why is there such an effort historically to do those kinds of things? I've talked recently about the effort to besmirch the legacy of Bill Cooper, for example. Why do that? And it seems because it's kind of what I'm talking about today, actually. You know, Sinatra saying that the best revenge is massive success. People historically have apparently read Bill Cooper's Behold Pale Horse in jail or prison, and it has spoken to them in a profound way and helped them turn their life around and see things, forces that have been conspiring against them, and, you know, to actually succeed in life. And so there's been an effort to besmirch Bill Cooper and his book, you know, besmirch message and messenger.
You know what? If you're doing right, God's going to protect you. Unless he wants you to become a hero, you know, like who wants to see an old Martin Luther King? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I know what Bill Cooper did wrong. He kept on his shortwave, he just kept on and on and on talking about Greek gods. And I thought, why is he taking up all this time? I never understood any of it. So he's in his driveway and playing close people. Policemen were parked there, and he came out with a gun and they shot him, right? Bill Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The point that I was making, though, is there's an effort to posthumously besmirch him, and we should ask questions when that happens. I think we should ask questions when it happens with the Kennedys or Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. Why is there an effort? You know, the same media that builds these people up into heroic, you know, godlike status is the same media that tears them down posthumously. Why is that happening? We should ask questions.
That's
might not be
devil
the same
is.
Answer in all cases, but might be worth investigating.
Well, that's the way the devil does.
But why is the question? Why?
Why does the devil do that? Everybody who goes with him, they end up being killed, too, because that's the way he does.
So you're saying Obama's going to be killed?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about him today. But
the point
I know
is
that people didn't know he was a communist.
I think everyone has heard that who's heard Martin Luther King's name.
Has heard that Obama's communist. That he was
Martin Luther King. Anyway, we have another call. We got to move on. I don't feel like we're really gaining any ground here. Maybe we should ask questions. More questions.
Bye.
Like, why posthumously besmirch Martin Luther King? What was the curious timing? You know? Assassinated a year to the day after his Beyond Vietnam speech. Is that just a coincidence? It sure is an amazing coincidence. And was there a difference between some of those earlier speeches and some of his earlier efforts, for example? And, you know, my understanding is I think William Pepper talked with James Corbett about how it was actually an article that William Pepper wrote about Vietnam that apparently Martin Luther King read, which is all also very interesting stuff. You know, that makes you kind of, it's all very curious. But I think we should be asking more questions and paying closer attention. It's funny, You know, the general public is encouraged to believe that everything is accidental, and, you know, history unfolds accidentally, even though we know people make plans. And again, as I've been saying for the last couple of days, in particular, government seems to historically be a euphemism for someone's special interest, but we're not supposed to think about that or realize that. It's someone's special interest. But we're supposed to believe that the Jay Inslees of the world are acting in everyone's best interest. And, you know, far too often it seems that the opposite is true. So, you know, we should just be asking questions, I suppose. Speaking of H.L. Mencken and government, he said no government is ever really in favor of so-called civil rights. It always tries to whittle them down. They are preserved under all governments insofar as they survive at all by special classes of fanatics, often highly dubious. So I think that's a fitting quote while we're here. And I guess to continue, that's from Minority Report, 1956. Another excerpt. Equality before the law is probably forever inattainable, Mencken wrote. It is a noble idea, but it can never be realized, for what men value in this world is not rights but privileges. And I think we've certainly proven that in 20th century America and beyond, shall we say. The administrative hijinks, the progressive era hijinks. It's all about right, or it's all about privileges and not rights, or privileges construed as rights, erroneously construed as rights. And last but not least, final excerpt, government is actually the worst failure of civilized man, Mencken wrote. There has never been a really good one, and even those that are the most tolerable are arbitrary, cruel, grasping, and unintelligent. Indeed, it would not be far wrong to describe the best as the common enemy of all decent citizens. But there will be a small hope of gaining adherence to this idea so long as government is thought of as an independent and somehow superhuman organism with powers, rights, and privileges transcending those of any other human aggregation. So, enough Mencken. Back to the phones. Charlie in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
I got an echo here. Listen, I was calling because of the Martin Luther King stuff. First, I wanted to say that he made one of the best statements that I've ever heard in my life, and it was he said in one of his speeches, he said, "If you don't have something worth dying for, you don't have anything in your life worth living for." And I've always thought that was profound. And actually, when you think about it, it is quite profound. And a person who doesn't have anything in their life that they believe in enough to act, you know, to be willing to die for, they really have nothing that they're actually living for. And it makes a lot of sense. But with that being said, I will go on to say, and this is not to besmirch him, it's just to clear the record up, he did plagiarize his doctoral thesis. And Pat was right. He was communist. And I think it was the FBI that took him out. So I agree with a lot of the things Pat was saying in her roundabout way. But I do agree. I mean, I have no proof the FBI took him out. I just think that. Because the James Earl Ray thing just didn't make a lot of sense for my... I did a lot of research into that, too. And it seems like that he was probably taken out by somebody else. I don't think he was the man. He did have a lot of affairs with other women and stuff. But I don't think that as a preacher he should have been admired. But he was a force for civil rights change, and I think that probably needed to come about. But all that being said, I would not put the man up on a pedestal. He certainly mm-hmm. wasn't someone to be admired
mm-hmm.
because of just the things he did, like plagiarized, excuse me, his doctoral thesis and all the affairs that he was having. And I think he was communist too, yeah. So he wasn't exactly who he portrayed himself to be and to the public, you know.
Well,
but I think the movement needed to take place.
I think he was...
I lived in the South in those days, and I remember okay. She was right about that, too. We used to... Blacks and whites didn't have any problems living together, you know, in those days. But I don't think that... To be honest with you, a lot of the people were being held down by other forces, you know, the blacks were mm-hmm. being held back by other forces like the KKK and all that kind of stuff. So civil rights needed to
happen. Always an extension of the FBI as well, it seems.
It might be, yeah. I know that most of the Klansmen in the South in those days were all Democrats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. They always like to pin that kind of stuff on right wing, but it was the Democrats
mm-hmm.
that had started it. As a matter of fact, the Democrats started the KKK right after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
That was when it began. It started as KK, Klu Kluxus, and then later became KKK. It actually started out, it was actually a good thing when it started out because the northern carpetbaggers were coming down and stealing all their land and the farms, you know, after the war was over. And they started actually to try to protect some of these family farms for people and stuff. It was later perverted into the KKK later and having to do with blacks and race and all that. It never, when it first started, it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with trying to save some of these people's homes and stuff and their farms for their that they had worked for generations, you know. But mm-hmm. this was all history, you know, it's all history. But I think, yeah, go ahead. I would like to hear what you have to say.
Well, we're sort of kind of all over the place. The raising of an icon like Martin Luther King, you know, the civil rights movement, that the whole discussion, I mean, going back into the even the pre-Civil War era, you know, this fomenting of racism and the exclusion of you know, the practice of slavery. I mean, I've talked about this several times or pointed to you know, some of the fun things that guys like Alan Watt have done. Just the fact that you know, throughout history, slavery was not historically confined to one demographic of folks. And that's a historical fact that gets overlooked a lot. Again,
no,
you know, folks like Thomas Sowell have been very outspoken about these kinds of things.
No, you're correct. Absolutely correct. Before the Revolutionary War, or right around the time of the Revolutionary War, there were actually more white slaves in the United States than blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the North did the same thing during the Civil War and right before the Civil War. They worked, I mean, they didn't call it slavery, but they had these poor Irish children, immigrants, and people
right.
like that working in their
right.
in their textile mills up there and treating them worse than slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was,
right.
it was, so there's a lot of blame to go around. At the time, the Civil War really wasn't over slavery. A lot of people think it was, but it really wasn't. Lincoln was not an abolitionist by any means. He even
yeah.
said that he would send, if he could send them to Jamaica or back to Africa, he would.
Mm-hmm.
That the Civil War was over the South wanting to make their own, produce their own cotton and make their own cloth. The textile mills in the North, which were all owned by bankers, you know, over in England, see, cloth was the king in those days. Cotton and cloth, they were the two big commodities. It's like oil today. And they were making their way around the world with the production of textiles. And the Rothschilds and people like that owned a lot of those banks over in England, owned a lot of the textile mills in the North. And the South wanted to break away from that financial. Okay, go ahead, yes.
Yeah, my understanding, you know, again, this is we seem to have a penchant for getting into broad subject matter, deep waters, at the end of broadcast, and there's mm-hmm. another call I want to get to, but my understanding is more along the lines of basically the Civil War was a fissure that was largely along the lines of the Three-Fifths Compromise, and basically it was the Three-Fifths Compromise abused the southern states because they were not properly represented, so to speak, because of the slave population. And so the northern tariffs were abusive and some of the other things that were going on as a result of the Three-Fifths Compromise. And it wasn't slavery directly, but it was the way that the South was being abused as a result of, generally speaking, the kind of the sentiments behind the Three-Fifths Compromise.
Well, yeah, you can look at it that way, but you can also do like the old saying and follow the money. And mm-hmm. the money at that time was in the South. The South was wealthy, and they started to print their own. They started printing their own money. And of course, the bankers up North couldn't have that, and they didn't want the South to be able to make their own cloth and cotton and ship it. And that was really what the whole ball of wax was, I mean, secretly behind the scenes was about. There were that many slaves. There was less than 10,000 slaves at the time of the Civil War. A lot of people don't know that. That seems like a lot today, but it's when you look at it in history, there were, you know, it's not that many people were there. The South really wanted to, and then also, I don't know if you know this, but Lincoln definitely held the, it was an illegal war in the sense that he punished the South for wanting to succeed, but they had the right under the Constitution to succeed. Succession was granted. In the Constitution.
Yeah, but it was
all
something
right.
That was
I know you got other
spoken
callers
against.
In your business.
Yeah, it's
so
too
I'll
late now.
Go.
Charlie, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Andy, sorry we missed you. A lot more to say on this, but we're out of time. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor, a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.